Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. You're now listening to another life-changing message from Pastor Tony Williams.
Doubt and unbelief is not something that we should just tolerate in our lives. God loves us too much to leave us in that place of questioning his integrity. May we cry out like the father of old, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. But to be fully assured of the fulfillment of this promise, the promise that we see in Romans 8:28, the Lord has helped us by actually identifying at least five things just within, and this is going to be our anchor text this morning. Five things that we need to understand from this text. If you're taking notes, you will receive these notes as well as the sermon outline. But don't let that discourage you from taking notes now. If you're taking notes, here are the five things. Number one, God has put all things under his control. You want reassurance of this promise in Romans 8:28? You need to know and you need to understand that God has put all things under his control. Number two, God wants your cooperation. Number three, whatever God is doing right now is for your good. Number four, you can love God. And number five, you are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. Let's start from the top. Number one, God has all things under his control. Again, we go back to our anchor scripture, Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Notice that it says all things and not some things, which means all things, everything good, and also everything bad that you might be facing right now. There is nothing that you are facing right now nor might face in the future that will catch God out. Nothing will shock or surprise him. Nothing you go through will be too much for him to handle. All things work together because God has all things, has put all things under his control. He has all things under his control. Therefore, all things work together. Are you with me this morning? Yes. Ephesians 1:19-23 says, in the New King James Version, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
All things, not some things, work together because Jesus has all things under his feet. Everything. Everything. That speaks about his authority. We cannot submit ourselves under the authority of Christ if we are still questioning the integrity of Christ. When by the grace of God, we stop questioning the integrity of Christ, then we can submit ourselves under the authority of Christ. As we come under authority, we can wield authority. So even as Jesus says, I have all things have been placed under my feet. In the same breath, he is saying, if you can trust me, if you can believe me, if you refuse to doubt me, all things will be placed under your feet also.
Amen.
He has all things under his feet. Jesus is the head over all things to the church, and the fullness of Jesus fills all in all. All. Therefore, he has all things under his control. He is God. He knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. He has gone before you. He is by your side and he is your rear guard. He has a specific plan and purpose for your life. And every single thing that you are going through will lead to the fulfillment of his purpose for you. Hallelujah. No matter what it is. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's painful, whether it's horrible, every single thing that you are facing right now, every single thing that you have faced and everything that you're about to enter into is going to lead you to the place where you are fulfilling God's specific plan and purpose for your life. Someone say amen. That's why you can't be beaten. You know, you might be going through and you think to yourself, what was that about? God, what are you doing? Why am I going through what I'm going through? And you might be asking all these questions, and rightfully so, but you need to know today that you cannot be beaten. You cannot be overcome. You cannot be destroyed. Oh, you would take some licks. That's that word again. For those of you who don't know what that is beating. You're going to be, you know, the enemy comes and he buffets up against you. That's a very ancient, he buffets up against you. But you cannot be beaten. It's impossible. So stop doubting God. Stop questioning his integrity. Stop questioning his love for you. You think you're on your own? You're not on your own. You're not isolated. The Lord is with you. The God of Jacob is with you. The God of Israel is by your side. Amen. In the light of this truth, what should be our response? Philippians 6:4-6 says in the Amplified, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, in other words, in all things, by prayer and petition, definite requests with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. That needs to be our response. Has to be our response. Our response needs to be talking to Jesus. He says, no good thing will I withhold from those who seek me. That's the promise of the Lord. Good things are withheld because we're not seeking him. Why? Because we are magnifying what we're going through higher than where we are going to. You got to understand. Stop making a big deal about what you're going through and staying in that place of Lodabar, staying in the wilderness, not realizing that God is taking you through something so that he can get you to somewhere. Your destination is your destination, and your destination is the fulfillment of his plan and purpose for your life. That's the first one. That's number one. So number one, just to remind you, God has all things under his control. Be convinced, be encouraged, and just simply trust him. Number two, God wants your cooperation. We go back to our anchor scripture, Romans 8:28, and it says again, and we know that all things, we've covered that, work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So here we see a God who is able to take the broken pieces of our life and make something beautiful and majestic. He is able to take all of our pain, all of our shame, all of our disappointments, and all of our brokenness and transform them into something that will honor and glorify him. But notice this now. Just be very, very, very aware of this, that it does not say that all things will work together. It just says all things work together. It doesn't say all things will work together. It just says all things work together. The two are very different things. Let me illustrate. In other words, it says, it's not saying that all things will work together for good. It is saying that all things are working together for good. It's not just a futuristic promise, but it's a present reality. Because when we are going through something, our natural posture is in the sweet by and by, it shall work out. Tomorrow, I believe that tomorrow is going to be okay. Jesus says to Mary, who am I? You're the resurrection and the life. But Lord, I know that. No, Martha, he says to Martha, she says to him, yes, Lord, I know that you are the resurrection and the life. I know that my brother will live again at the resurrection, that he'll be raised again. Lazarus will be raised again at the time of resurrection. And Jesus didn't say that I'm going to be the resurrection and the life. Come on, church. He didn't say I was the resurrection and the life. He says I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. He is right here, right now. It doesn't say that all things will work. He says all things all things are working right now for your good. Amen? Amen? All things are working right now for your good. See, whatever God is doing, he is doing it right now. Hallelujah. Whatever God is doing, he is doing it right now. Hallelujah. That's why we read in Psalm 46:1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. A very present help in time of trouble. Right now, God is working out a plan. Right now, God is working out a solution. Right now, God is working on a way in. Right now, God is working on a way out. Right now, God is working on your miracle. And right now, God is working on your victory. Hallelujah. But we need to know that God is not looking to do all this himself. Because the scriptures uses the term working together. This means that whatever God is doing right now, he is doing it in partnership or in synergy with us. And the Greek word for the term working together is synergio. Synergio is where we get the English word synergy. Now, the English definition of synergy is the interaction or cooperation of two or more organizations, substances, or other agents to produce a combined effect than the sum of their separate effects. To produce a combined effect greater, I beg your pardon, than the sum of their separate effects. Amen. And we must remember that this is God we're talking about. This is God that we're talking about here. He does not need our help. He can do this all by himself. But he has chosen not to take that route. But rather, he has made us his partners. Because of what our Lord Jesus did for us on the cross, we are now in partnership or in fellowship with God the Holy Spirit. So right now, God is working something out for you, but he wants your cooperation. He doesn't need your cooperation. He wants your cooperation. He wants you to work with him and not against him. He wants you to fight with him and not against him. A.W. Tozer said, if we cooperate with him in loving obedience, God will manifest himself to us, and that manifestation will be the difference between a nominal Christian life and a life radiant with the light of his face.
Amen.
Our willingness to cooperate with God will be the factor that determines how long we remain in the current wilderness that we are going through. Church, he wants your cooperation. Number three. Whatever God is doing right now, he is doing it for your good. I remember when I was a boy, and my mom would say to me, son, what I'm about to do to you is going to hurt me more than it will hurt you. And I would say to myself, Well, why don't you turn around then and let me smack your backside to see whether or not that's true. No, I didn't say that. And what I did say was, no, it's not, actually. I am very certain that it's going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. Because the last time you did this, yes, but it didn't do me any harm. Praise the Lord. Amen. And the other thing that she says, I'm doing this for your own good. No, you're not doing this for my own good. There is nothing good about what you're about to do. You're about to cause me intense, sharp pain, and I know it's coming because I've gone through it many times, and I know I've been naughty, but don't tell me it's for my own good. It doesn't make any sense. You know, you're trying to mess with my mind, and it's not working. So, but what God is about to do, what God is, let me rephrase that, what God is doing is for your own good. Amen. What you're going through is for your own good. What you're having to endure is for your own good. What you're having to put up with is for your own good. God is saying, I'm taking you through this because I need to teach you something. I need you to learn something. You've got to grow. You need to stretch. You need to expand your capacity. And the only way that can happen is by you getting out of your comfort zone. The only way that this faith can be stretched and can be strengthened is by you applying it to your situation and to your life. He says, I'm doing it for your good. This is what I'm working out. So we go back to our scripture, Romans 8:28. For we know all things, we've done that, worked together, done that, for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. It might not feel that way, but you need to know that whatever God is doing right now, he is doing it for your good. The word good in the Greek is agathos. And that word means this. It says that which is inherently or intrinsically good as to the believer. It describes what originates from God and is empowered by him in their life through faith. Only through faith. In other words, it means that which is inherently or intrinsically good as to you is what the Lord is about to release upon your life. It describes what originates from God and is empowered by him in your life through faith and only through faith. Our God is a good God. Psalm 86 verse 5 declares, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all who call upon you." Our God does good things. Psalm 119:6 verse 68 says, "You are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes." Our God gives good gifts. James chapter 1 verse 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Our God leads his children into good places. Deuteronomy 6:23, New King James again says, "Then he brought us out from here, from there, that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers." He brought us out that he might bring us in. God is taking you out that he might bring you in. He's not going to leave you in the land of limbo. He's not going to leave you in the land of Lodabar. Lodabar in the scriptures refers to the land of just enough. He's taken you and delivered you from the land of less than enough. He is now not going to leave you in the land of just enough, in the wilderness where you have to keep on feeding on manna and feeding on quail. He has translated you into the land of abundance, into the land of more than enough. He brought you out to lead you in. He took you out to take you in. This is who our God is. So right now, God, who is a good God, is working on a good plan to do good things for you, to give you good gifts, and to bring you into a good place. This amazing promise has been made available to every child of God. However, every child of God must lay hold of it and apply it to their lives
Amen.
Before it can truly make a difference. Now we switch it up a little bit and come to our final two, the final two things that Romans 8:28 teaches us. So number four, you can love God. What's the point of that? See, as wonderful as this promise is to us, there are still many believers who struggle to lay hold of it for their lives. And as a result, they lose hope, throw in the towel, and give up the fight. Why? Because, I'll tell you why, it's because of who the promise was made to. You may ask this morning, but wasn't this promise made to all believers? And I will answer, of course it was. The answer to this will always be yes. God did make this promise to all believers, but every believer still has to lay hold of God's promises to them. How do we lay hold of God's promise to us in this instance? By choosing to love God and by recognizing, understanding, and responding to the fact that you have been called according to his purpose. So we look at the first one. Again, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things, done that, work together, done that, for good, done that, to those who love God. Amen. And to those who are called according to his purpose. To love God is the greatest of all commandments. Amen.
Amen.
Matthew 22, verse 36 to 39 says, Teacher, what is the greatest, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind.
Amen.
And this is the first and great commandment.
Amen.
The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. David declared in Psalm 18, verse 1 and 2, I love you, O Lord. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Simple. I'm not asking you for anything. I'm not placing any demands on you right now. I'm not bringing to you my needs. I'm not bringing to you my issues. I just want to tell you I love you. I love you, O Lord. My strength, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, and my stronghold. I love you, O Lord. That's in the ESV version. We can believe that we love God, and we can say that we love God, but the true evidence of our love for God is our obedience to his word, and in particular, how his word instructs us to love people. The same thing applies to everything else we do. We're not really praying if we're not obedient. We're not really praising if we're not obedient. We're not really worshiping if we're not obedient. We put so much emphasis on what we do in these 2 hours, it's unreal. Oh God, break us out of this shell. How is it possible for us to contain the or even put at the pinnacle of our worship what we do in the context of an hour and a half or 2 hour long service? Doesn't make any sense. This is a God who is eternal. This is a God who lives outside of time. And the kind of worship that he requires us is one that is not beyond our grasp, beyond our reach. I can tell you that what we do here on the walls with our songs is an expression of worship. But whether or not is spirit and truth worship is very questionable. So we have got to recognize that there is so much more to praising him, to worshiping him, and ultimately to loving him than what we do as part of our education and our training and all the cultural stuff that we have been exposed to as children of God. We have, many of us, we've come to church for years. and we find ourselves so cocooned in this reality, and we say, this is worship. The Lord says, you know, I love you guys and everything else, but it isn't. It isn't worship. It's an expression of worship, and I will bless you for it. I'm going to touch on this again, but, you know, Sue and I have been, the Lord has been pummeling us, man, in a beautiful way. It's like Tasha Cobb's song, Gracefully Broken. This Holy Spirit teaches us things about what it truly means to interact with Him in His presence and in the presence of the Lord, and just to simply enjoy Him, for us to enjoy His company and for Him to enjoy our company. I heard this preacher say that he was at a conference once, and he was leading the conference, and an 11-year-old boy came and began to prophesy. And as he was prophesying, the presence and the glory of the Lord came down upon the place, and it was so thick and it was so strong. The people were silent. For not 5, not 10, not 20, not 30, but 45 minutes. Not one person said a single word. Not one person made a single sound because of the Shekhinah, the manifest glory of the Lord that was in the place. The guy who was convening the service, the conference, was his first time doing it. He was a young man in his mid-20s at the time. He goes to the pastors who were kind of like organizing the whole thing and said to them, what do you want me to do? Because now the Lord, in fact, I missed a step. The Holy Spirit spoke to this young man and said to him, you know, I'm finished now. With the reason why you came has been accomplished. Mission has been accomplished. Send everyone home. Send everyone home. So he's wrestling with this, and he goes to the pastors and says, this is what the Lord says to me. And they laughed at him. And he says, can you just pray and discern with me, please? So he goes and sits back down, and the pastor says, we discern that it's the Lord. But before this, the Lord whispered to the man while he was still wrestling. Young man is sat in the front row. He's wrestling. The Lord said, send them home. And he says, God, this is the final service. This is the final service of this conference. We have a whole thing planned. The band's going to come up, going to sing a particular song. Everyone is going to rise to their feet. We're going to sing a song that everyone knows and everyone loves and everyone, you know, a song that glorifies you and honors you. And we're going to do all that, Lord, and we're going to raise the roof in praise and worship. So, Lord, these people have come from far and wide, and now you want me to send them home, and we're not going to do all that for you? We're not going to do all that for you, God, for you, really? Are we not going to do all that for you? Can you see what I'm doing? Yes. All right? That is what the Lord said. He said to this man, I don't know why I'm sharing this morning. I was kind of like preserving this for another time, but he said to him, son, oh God, he said to him, son, if you do that, I will bless you. But if you do what I've asked you to do, you will bless me. So God is now in the process of helping both myself and Pastor Sue to really understand what worship is.
Thank you, Lord.
And as we go on that journey, we're going to take you all on that journey too.
Amen.
Because church, enough is enough.
Amen.
I said enough is enough.
Amen.
We're going to give to our Lord what he deserves. Within the context of a 2 hour, or 1 hour, or whatever, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, praise God.
Amen.
And counting, hallelujah.
Amen.
But primarily out there, out there.
Yes.
out there in the remaining 110 hours that we spend outside of this building. We're going to give to him what is his. He says, if you do it, I'll bless you. That messed me up. If you do it, I will bless you. If you do that, I'll bless you. But if you do what I've asked you to do, you bless me. And Lord, I want to bless you. David said, I love you, Lord. End of. I love you. I love you. Jesus said, John 14:23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Our greatest demonstration of love, our greatest demonstration of praise, our greatest demonstration of worship, our greatest demonstration of sacrifice, our greatest demonstration of generosity or giving is only demonstrated as we obey God with our very lives. So if we hate those he has commanded us to love, whether or not they earned it, can we still love God? If we despise those he has commanded us to forgive, whether or not they deserve it, can we still love God? If we neglect the principles of God's word by failing to apply them to our lives, can we truly love God? I don't believe we can. 1 John 4:20 to 21 says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he loves, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Now, for those of you who have been on Freedom in Christ, I'll remind you of the teaching there. Just because you forgive someone doesn't mean that you're going to put yourself back into the line of fire. Just because you forgive someone does not mean that you go back into the place of being abused again and again and again. Forgiveness is not about you and the person. Forgiveness is between you and Jesus. Because he is the one who has purchased the price for your forgiveness. He is the one who has paid it all on your behalf. It is the Father who has now forgiven you and reconciled you to himself. So the issue is not between you and him or you and her. It's between you and him. It's between us and him. So in light of that, yes, extend mercy and forgiveness and everything else that we're commanded to do, but don't put yourself back into a place where you can get smashed up again, spiritually, physically, emotionally, and mentally. Don't do that. There's no point doing that. That is not what the scriptures is asking us to do. We know that for a fact because Jesus would have had to have crucified himself again and again and again. Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
One might ask the question, so given that we have so many faults and failings, whilst God is faultless and can never fail, how then is it possible for a people like us to love him? Well, church, we can love God because he has loved us. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. We can love God because he has first loved us. Your capacity and ability to love God is based on your willingness to be loved by God. Your capacity or ability to love God is based on your willingness to be loved by God. One of the biggest barriers in the Christian life is receiving his love. Everything in us fights to receive the love of God. Everything in us deliberately frustrates the process of simply resting and abiding, receiving, accepting this love. We say that we do here. We confess even that we do here, but the reality is our hearts say something different. He says, I am here to pour out my love upon you and for that love to be perfected so that perfect love can cast out all fear. But our struggle because of our sinful man is, yes, Lord, with one hand I am receiving, but with the other hand, Lord, I am deflecting. I can't. And if we cannot receive his love, if we struggle to receive his love, it's probably one of the principal reasons why we struggle to love ourselves. Because loving yourself is not narcissistic. Loving yourself is not about an ego trip. Loving yourself is recognizing who you are. You are a target, a recipient, a benefactor of the benevolent, supernatural, unrivaled, sacrificial love of God. It's more than a cute scripture that we read in John 3:16. This is the representative of love himself. Love himself hanging on that cross for 6 hours for you. So that love must challenge you to love. It must provoke you to love. It must propel you to love. If you can freely accept it, you will love yourself. And one of the primary reasons why we struggle to love other people is because we don't love ourselves. I've said enough on that. So we can love God because he has loved us. Church, we can love God because he has given us his Spirit. Romans 5:5 says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. This is agape. And now the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the capacity to obey and therefore to love God. So don't believe that lie that you can't love God the way he deserves to be loved. For love himself now lives in you. Therefore, all things are working together for your good as you love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and as you demonstrate this love by your obedience. You can love God. And the final one, number 5, you are called according to his purpose. So Romans 8:28, and we know that all things, we've done that, work together, we've done that for good, we've done that to those who love God. We've done that, and for those who are called according to his purpose, and this wonderful promise is possessed again by those who are called according to his purpose. The Greek word used for called here means to be invited or to be summoned. It is the same word that is used in Matthew 20, verse 16. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. For many are called, but few are chosen. We have been called according to God's purpose, and we have been invited or summoned to become partakers of God's purpose. The words according to in the original language means daily conforming to. So in other words, on a daily basis, God calls, invites, or summons us to live lives that conform to his purpose and not ours. Proverbs 19:21 says, many plans are in a man's mind, but it is the Lord's purpose for him that will stand.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
To know that you may have many plans.
Yeah.
Never ever make decisions based on what your flesh or your emotions are telling you to do, because your flesh, your emotions will lie to you. They will lead you to a place where the Lord is not taking you. Many plans are in a man's mind, but praise God, it is the Lord's purpose for him that will stand. God's purpose is eternal. Isaiah 64, verse 9 to 10, Amplified. God's purpose is holy. Joshua 7:13, Amplified. God's purpose is unstoppable. Job 42, verse 2, Amplified. And God's purpose is final. Ecclesiastes 3:14, Amplified. And you, child of God, have been called according to this purpose. Band, come back, please. See, when we understand this truth, we will have the confidence to believe that no matter what we face in life, all things work together for our good. So, if you have come through a storm, or you are in a storm, or about to go into a storm, believe that God is working it out right now. If you are in a place of pain, or of shame, of guilt, or of regret, of brokenness, or of desperation, believe that God is working it out right now. No matter how long it's been, no matter how painful it's been, you need to know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So I pray, church, that even today, you will truly know, believe, understand, and believe that God has all things under his control, that he wants your cooperation. Don't fight against him, fight with him, but don't get in the way. Believe that whatever God is doing right now is for your good. It will never be bad. It will never lead you to a bad place. It will never end badly for you. Believe that you can love God, and believe, church, that you have been called according to his purpose. Let's bow our heads. Just wait on the Lord with me. Let the Holy Spirit do what he needs to do. Bow your heads, please. Just wait on the Lord and ask him for yourself. Say, Holy Spirit, come. Here I am. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, you know what's happening with me right now. Lord, you know what I've just come through. You see, I still have the scars. I still have the scar tissue. Lord, I can see the storm on the horizon. I'm scared. I don't want what's coming, Lord, but I trust you. I believe, Lord, that whatever happens, Lord, everything is under your control. Whatever happens, Lord, I know that we're going to do it together. We're going to go through it together. You're not going to leave me. You're not going to forsake me. You're not going to turn your back on me. Lord, it's painful, but I know you're here. Just talk to him this morning. I'm helping you. I'm helping you with a few things, but just talk to him. I know you're here, Lord. I know you never left me. And Lord, I repent this morning because I've doubted you. I've questioned your integrity. Trust. I choose to yield. I choose to obey. And I know I have this promise, Lord, because I love you. Everything will want to tell me that I don't love you because I messed up yesterday. I messed up last week. So how can you love God? How can you truly love God even when you keep on messing up, going round and round in this cycle? Child, do you not know that he saw you from a distance, but he also saw you up close? He saw you when you were going round and round in that circle, doing the same thing over and over again. He still stretched out his hand and said, come, take my hand, take my arm. It's my mighty right arm. It's my strong right arm. I'll pull you out of that whirlwind. I will pull you out of that cycle of brokenness, that cycle of destruction, that cycle of anxiety and fear. I'll pull you out from that place. He knew when you were going to make that mistake. He knew that thing that was going to come out of your mouth. He knew the moment that thing was going to get into your mind, the moment that thing was going to lodge in your heart. God knew it all. He knew it before you were even born. He knew every second of it. He knew every moment of it. He saw it and he's never stopped loving you. He says, I will not stop loving you. I will not stop loving you. I will not stop pouring out my affection over you. Now just receive it. Just take it. Just receive it. Because it's the only thing that will enable you to love me back. It is the only thing that will enable you to love the one that hurt you, to love the one that broke you, to love the one that has put that bitterness in your heart and has offended you. It's the only way. Let me love you.